Yeah. Life. Life is the only thing we need. They need me to go, but I don't want to leave. Rest in peace, little kid.
And welcome to another special edition of this Tom Green podcast. This is, of course, a very special edition. Last week, of course, I told you that I was kind of breaking out of the hiatus show, and I was coming back and doing another season of the show, and I was hoping that it would get some traction and it wouldn't necessarily be the final season, that I would have some professional opportunities. Well, it didn't take a week for me to get my first professional opportunity of this new season of the show, and I am very honored to welcome a special guest. If we're Tiger fans, if you remember Todd Jones and some of the roller coaster saves he had, but we love him as a guy, and he's funny on the Players Only telecast. We are very pleased to welcome his daughter, Abby Jones, onto the show from Bally Sports Southwest. Abby, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking on this opportunity and helping me along towards the more professional opportunities. Welcome to the show, Abby.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I try to be a little bit more consistent than my dad when it comes to this kind of stuff, but he's the best. I love him. Still call him roller coaster sometimes when he's acting up, but he's great.
Absolutely. And I think you remember in June, actually, this is during state final week at my day job, actually, with the Tribune. I went down on Monday night and saw Lauren Jabara from Bally Sports South for the Braves. That was the Players Only telecast where I believe your dad gave the rabbit ears behind me. And that's kind of how we actually got connected at first.
Yep, it's not shocking at all. He is definitely, nothing's changed about him. He's just a kid that luckily, like, never really had to grow up. But yeah, he's doing a little bit of what I do here in Texas, and he's doing it in Detroit. And he was just there for the Rays series. Loves it, a lot of good TV time, hugs with Miggy, eating some wings with Simo. So I know that he is so excited for his opportunity to be back in Detroit.
Absolutely, and a couple of friends there that I have at Bally Detroit, Johnny Kane, Natalie Kerwin. I'm hoping that they get to listen to this show and they say, damn, Tom, look at Tom working with the big guns. So glad that this opportunity is happening. And also a shout out to Hannah Wing as well, the arena host for the Rangers, which Abby works with, I'm sure, pretty regularly.
Yeah, she's the best.
Absolutely. She is definitely great to the fans, and she was great to me during some rough times at the previous gig that I had. So happy for that. So one sec. All this babbling, sometimes you need a drink of water. So first question I have is, how did Abby Jones get to Bally Sports Southwest? Tell us about your career path there. How did you get there?
Yeah, long story. I'll try to make it short. My dad retired in 2008, and we took, just as a family, like, some time off. We, you know, kind of locked in on trying to make all of those family memories that you didn't get to make when you're growing up and your dad's playing professional baseball. We did a few vacations. It's funny, like, he was never allowed to do a snowboarding trip. It was written in his contract to, you know, not do anything that could potentially injure his arm or anything like that. So we took some family time, but after he retired, maybe like 2 years after, he realized how much he missed the game and just the environment and being around the ballpark. So he started doing some on-air stuff with Bally Sports Detroit. Well, it was Fox Sports at the time.
Right.
Fox Sports Detroit. I was like 15 years old, and I just love my dad so much. We get along super well. He's like my best friend. So I was like, Dad, if you're going to go to Detroit this weekend, I want to go with you. I didn't really know what he was even going to do, but I just said, hey, I'll come tag along. So I went, and then that's really where I saw everything about the media, and a little bit more so, like, he was really good about when he played, like, we did everything with him. So we traveled to every away game. We were at every game, and then interviews we would be with him, or press releases or anything like that. Like, we were super involved with my dad's career. So I did get to see a lot of it early on from the player standpoint. Sure. But then after he retired, I think I learned the career side of somebody working in media. And that's where I met Matt Shepard, and I met John Keating, and kind of just made all of those connections when I was 15 years old, and then stuck with it. And I knew from that moment that I wanted to do something on air. I've been working for that ever since. So I did a internship with Fox Sports Detroit in college. And going into my senior year, I spent the summer there and just really went to every single baseball game, got to interview players, got to record a lot for my reel. And that was a great experience. And then came home, graduated, got a big girl job. It wasn't fully on air, and I knew that I wanted to be on air, but I just took a job to kind of say that I got a job when I graduated. But that wasn't, you know, it was more of like a business corporate sports thing. Wasn't sure. Really my vibe. So then I started working with Valley Sports South and made a lot of great connections there. Chip Carey, I started a podcast during COVID because me and a girlfriend that I worked with in Detroit, Lauren Withrow, she was fresh out of college, didn't have a ton of experience and wanted a lot on her reel, as did I. Like, we weren't getting, you know, any jobs in sports at that time. So we said, sports are kind of on pause this year. What can we do in this calendar year to keep bettering ourselves? So that way, when sports roll around, we're kind of prepared for our next step. So we did a podcast together. We actually had active NBA player, NFL player, retired broadcasters, coaches, ex-players. So we had like a pretty good crowd, and yeah, through that just made connections, reached out to Chip Carey, the play-by-play for the Atlanta Braves at the time, and he said I could shadow him whenever sports were back to normal. So went to Atlanta and kind of spent a couple of months just shadowing out there, doing my own things. It was more so behind the scenes and didn't really go anywhere, but it was such good experience for my reel. Sure. And I just, every single time I was at the park, I got to record something and send it to somebody. So I got a lot of reps there. And then that just kind of worked its way into Southwest. I lived in Nashville after I graduated college, and I worked with the Nashville Sounds, which then was the AAA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. So I met everybody from Fox Sports Southwest during that time, kept up with those connections. I literally applied for like 177 jobs during COVID, like all sports jobs, and a lot of no's, a lot of yeses, a lot of interviews, stuff like that. But kind of just finally worked out that I got to come here. I moved. It's so crazy. I moved on a part-time position. I didn't even have a full-time position, but I was like,
that's a risk.
I know that I want to work. Yeah. I was like, I know that I want to work with Bally. I'm not like, I clearly cannot do anything outside of this world. I tried to do like during COVID, just like a 9-to-5, like office kind of thing. And it just didn't work for me.
Right.
And, I was like, this is really worth the risk. So I took it, moved out here within a month, started. And then since then, it's just been the biggest blessing. It's the best opportunity I've ever had. I feel like I never am truly working a day in my life because I am at the field or I'm at the arena or talking with Coach Beasley or this, that, and the other. So every day is seriously the best day ever. And that is my long story short of how I ended up in Dallas. But I've been here now for two seasons, and my position's growing. And just really loving trying out new ideas. And the Rangers are good right now, so we are loving everything that they're doing.
Absolutely, and we'll get to the Rangers part in just a little bit. But yes, I'm glad that through ups and downs, of course, I've had work ups and downs and personal ups and downs. But thankfully, on the work grind so far, it's kind of going the same as you are, of course, on a smaller scale for myself. But things are steadily going on the up and up, and this hopefully gets it better on the up and up. So that's awesome to hear, and it's awesome to hear your story. I've heard of Lauren. I have wanted to reach out to her before, so maybe this could be my chance to work with Ms. Withrow as well. So any advice to
Lauren? Lauren will do it.
Oh, for sure.
We'll make sure she does it.
Oh, yeah. I believe she went to Michigan, right?
Yeah, she did.
I'm a Michigan man, even though I went to Saginaw Valley State. I'm a Michigan man. Went to more Michigan games than I went to SVSU games when I was in school. So
we won't tell anybody.
Don't worry. Even the tight end for Saginaw Valley State, which I went to a couple classes with at the time, said, "Yeah, you're doing a good thing there." But nonetheless, advice to those that are aspiring to work in sports, like I was a few years ago, and even you were a few years ago.
It's a grind for sure. I think just the biggest thing that I have learned is that, you know, it's a really competitive field right now. So it's just about hard work. I mean, with the internet now, there's so many people that can learn the sport or figure out some resources. But it's about the person that's going to show up every single day and be there at the field and go in on the days that they don't want to. I think that, you know, it's the same with being a player. Me and my dad talk about this a lot. You're either born with this incredible arm and you don't have to do much, or, you know, you're somebody that's not maybe as talented, but you work a lot harder. Everybody's road is a little bit different, but I think honestly, the thing that takes you the furthest is your hard work. And I think that's one thing that shows me how much I truly love working the job that I have and doing what I do, because it's a lot of hours. I mean, I work, I'm working tonight. I've been working all day. I work through weekends, holidays. I don't have, you know, time off or clock in, clock out hours, which is nice to have flexibility, but it's a job that requires a lot of attention and, you know, just commitment to. And if you're not, if you're wanting weekends off or holidays off, you know, maybe it's not the job for you. But if you're fine with that, it's the most rewarding industry, and it's different every day. That's why I love it. I feel like there's nothing, you know, mundane about it, even if it is kind of the same thing, going to the ballpark, you know, every day, or the arena or whatnot. Like, it's so fun that you just truly never take it for granted. So hard work is one. And then two, you're going to get told no a lot more than you get told yes. The yeses matter, the no's don't. So there was a quote that was like, if you asked a question and somebody said no, you just asked the wrong person. And that's something that I feel like I truthfully like take to heart. And, you know, there's been opportunities that I've been presented where they kind of told me, oh, you know, well, this is as far as you can go. And I was like, well, what if I want to take it to this next level? And if you do the work and then you present it to them, they're going to be like, oh yeah, that's a really good idea. Great job. You know, so just make opportunities for yourself. It's not going to fall in your lap. Take risk and, you know, try to make new content. Think of something that somebody's not producing or you don't see on the internet. And right now with the internet, like, we have everything at our fingertips. So you need to use it every single day to help you become a better reporter, a better writer, photographer, whatever it may be. You know, you gotta be invested, work hard. The no's don't matter, the yeses do. So keep going until you get the yes.
Exactly. And of course I've had my run of the mill with the no's, especially. I mean, for, it seems to me as if for every yes, there's like three to five different no's that happen behind.
I would say 30, to be
30?
Honest.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not joking. I applied to 177 jobs during COVID. So, you just can't be afraid of no. It's just got to like roll off.
Exactly. And somebody in my stature, I mean, I will be completely brunt and honest here. I mean, I've made a lot of professional relationships, and sometimes I haven't been the best at keeping the best and saying the right things, especially as somebody that's, you know, young like me, things happen. So, I mean, but I've worked through it, and here I am today, and us working together is great, and, you know, the right things will happen. You just got to give it time. Patience is a virtue, and you said a lot of great things there, and, those that are looking to apply for the sports department like we're in on different scales, don't give up. Jim Valvano, don't give up. Don't ever give up.
That's
so
true.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this Detroit history that you have. And, of course, with Todd as well as your path as well. Some Detroit history, too.
I love Detroit. It's always really sweet when they come into town. You know, it's connecting with people that we've worked with for years. I mean, I literally grew up with Keats and a few of the other guys. So now that they're, you know, coming into town and we're working on the same thing and kind of like we're colleagues, it's just weird and funny. And Simo, I was joking, me and his daughter, Morgan, are super close. So it was just funny, you know, we used to go make cookies with Simo and Casey, and now I'm talking about, you know, the pregame show, the rundown. We're eating dinner together at the field and stuff, but you know, it's a lot has changed, but like nothing's changed too. So Detroit is a special place for me. Like I said, my dad's just recently gotten back into working with baseball. He loves it. He actually was a coach in AAA, AA with the Tigers for a little bit. It didn't really work well for like his schedule. So he wanted to try the media route. I joke with him that he stole my job because he's literally doing like my dream. But it's great. It's awesome to be able to, you know, work on this with my dad, and he's taught me so much with a game of baseball. So for me to be able to teach him something about media and broadcasting and being on air, that's been really, really unique and really, really fun for us. And he's just hilarious. He'll call me after his hits and he's like, well, professional to professional, how was segment A? And you know, I'm like, well, am I your kid right now, or are we colleagues? Right. And I'm like, all right, well let me shoot you straight, clean this up, you know, you should have said this better, something like that. So that's really fun. But sure, honestly, like, we traveled a lot with my dad. He played on a ton of teams, but I will say, like, my best memories and probably my most memories are with Detroit. Everyone that we played with is just amazing. I got to talk to Miggy when he was in town, and that was great. I'm sad that his career is ending this season. Yeah. But what a run for him. He's just a great guy and happy at all of his success. And yeah, just connecting with everybody. It just feels like Detroit's family, and always going to feel like that probably. But yeah, I love it. I don't love the cold. So for me, like, the winter is pretty hard. Texas, it's currently like 109 right now, and I think I prefer that. But I love Detroit.
Absolutely. And of course, this, for those that follow me on Twitter, this is a famous tweet of mine. Whenever he hits a home run, Miggy, Miggy, Miggy. I'm going to miss tweeting that, and I'm going to miss Miggy, that's for sure. I was glad to have been in Miami over Miguel Cabrera weekend. That was a lot of fun, reconnecting.
That was a big weekend, for sure.
Reconnecting with Jess for the first time in 4 years. I'm certain that you've probably seen that picture already and whatnot. And being around Miguel Cabrera weekend, Miguel Cabrera being in Miami on the inaugural Miguel Cabrera Day, when they enacted that at Lone Depot Park. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, definitely a lot of good moments about Miguel Cabrera, for sure. So yeah, we talked a little bit about the time with the Rangers so far. I mean, that's your job. Your job is expanding with that so far. I think anything more you have to add about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're great. Well, you know, I'm not just with the Rangers. It's Mavericks and Stars as well. We've got a few other NBA teams too, but I'm pretty much the person that goes to all the home games and grabs content and stuff and digital reporting and stuff like that. So when you have somebody like Luka, and then with basketball, I love basketball, so that's kind of like my thing. Luka makes every day like the best day ever. And then just the success that the Rangers are having this season. Last year, you know, the Rangers had a pretty tough outcome. So it's just been so amazing to watch what Chris Young has done with Bruce Bochy and everybody that he's kind of acquired throughout the offseason and the trade deadline. I told CY this. I was like, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Dave Dombrowski, like just how well he's able to move pieces that kind of fit perfectly together. And we have a very, very tight race in the AL West. And, you know, the Astros just got Verlander, so it's going to be interesting. Right now, there are three games behind us. And then the last bit of the season, we're facing the Oakland Athletics right now. And then we face the Mariners twice and the Angels. So it's a lot of competitive baseball, but I am really looking forward to hopefully some October baseball here. And then Bruce Bochy is just the best. I like sit around and watch YouTube documentaries and just watch his old stuff with the Giants, because I was in high school at that time. And I remember like sitting in the living room watching my family when he won all of those World Series. So it's kind of a pinch me moment every day when I get to go to the field and talk to Boch, and we just talk about his grandkids or, you know, his off day. He likes to fish, stuff like that. Yeah. And then he lets me pull him aside and, you know, ask him from a catcher's perspective, you know, what are you looking forward to out of Austin Hedges? Or what are you, you know, looking to add with Jonah Heim coming back? Stuff like that. So he's just the best person ever. He takes his time with everyone. He knows everybody's name. He's a really, really great guy. And I think it will be like probably the highlight of my career to say that, you know, I got to spend a season, hopefully more, with Bruce Bochy. But he's the real deal.
Yeah, and maybe you can see it in how we've worked here the past 10-20 minutes ish. But those are my type of people. Or Jim Leland, Bruce Bochy, even Tony La Russa a little bit. Those no BS people that really want to get to know you and really want to make sure that things are right and personable for you. And
yeah.
You know, kind of one of those the buck stops here people when you're working together, of course, but also that those that are personable will take time and make sure that you're well accounted for.
Yep, no doubt. It's so funny though. I haven't seen Leland since I think my dad retired, so I'm hoping that just, you know, eventually soon I get to run into him again. That would be really fun.
There we go. It's definitely. So, yeah, we've talked a little bit about the Rangers' success here, and I had said it kind of off the air, and I'm not sure if I had said it on the air. I had watched an episode of The Rally early this year with Brooke Fletcher and the crew, and there was a question early in the season with the the whiteboard put it up, what's your answer, the question was, which team that did not make the playoffs last year has the best chance at making it? And Brooke Fletcher answered, your Texas Rangers. And when when I saw that, I was like, Brooke, you're crazy. I think the Rangers are going to be okay. I mean, Bochy, yes, is a good ad, but do you really think they're going to get that far? And lo and behold, of course, with about a month and a half left still, barring a huge collapse, which I don't think happens, she was right.
She's right, yeah. No doubt. Brooke's great, and it was a great answer.
Absolutely. So, we talked a little bit about that. I guess as far as Detroit goes, I mean, for your, of course, on the outside Texas perspective, but what's some of your observations of Detroit's team this year, if you've seen, however much you've seen?
Oh, you better believe when my dad's on the air, I am sitting down pregame until postgame, and I have my notebook out. So definitely critiquing him, of course. But no, I mean, it's exciting. It's definitely a young team, but the no-hitter was awesome.
Combined
with
no-hitter, yes.
Manning and a few of those other guys. We just kind of joke around about just the, you know, the fun that the team's having. And it's great. And I love what they're doing with the players broadcast. I think it's fun. Detroit is a great ballpark. It's a great city for baseball. Like, the fans are dialed in all throughout the season, which is really exciting. So what they're doing there is fun, and the guys are having fun, and it's nice that they can throw on a headset during the game and, you know, not be too caught up in everything, but still be personable. I feel like the Tigers, as an organization, has always done a really great job of that, of, you know, our guys are our people, and, you know, they'll talk to you, they'll do an interview, they'll sit down, and, you know, I feel like Johnny Cain's either riding a horse with a player on his off day or baking a cake or something like that. But, you know, it's really fun to just see how much fun they have as a team. Of course, my dad's, he probably might not say it, but Jake Rogers, I mean, it's like his twin with the Fu Man. And they have the mustache going. So there is a photo on his Instagram of him and my dad, and it's definitely framed in our house in my dad's office. So my dad has a lot of pride with it, but you know, it's fun. It's fun to watch the guys. It's fun to see them have a little bit of success and get hot bats or anything like that. But my favorite moment this year with Detroit is just Miggy moments and everything that every single team is doing for him and his foundation. Kind of reminds me of like the Dwayne Wade tour when he retired from the NBA. But it's really special. And I don't think that, you know, I don't know how somebody wouldn't appreciate what Miggy's done, but I love how everybody's really reflecting on like his career. And I feel like Miggy's like getting his flowers right now, which is really cool. Cause most of the time, like, you get your flowers after, and, I'm happy for him, and it's just been fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. And knowing that this is Miguel Cabrera's last season makes you appreciate watching Cabrera a lot more. In fact, I was at Comerica Park for Miguel Cabrera's 3,000th hit. And in fact, I'll probably end up sending you afterwards, but I have the video of where I was standing at, which was in the concourse there right behind home plate. And then right afterwards, the ushers scattered us out of that concourse right there. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But I was in that concourse filming Cabrera's 3,000th hit, and I also synced it to Dan Dickerson's call the day after of Miguel Cabrera's 3,000th hit, and I'll have to send you that as well. But that was a moment, and to be completely honest, I was in tears afterwards when I turned that recorder off, because I knew what Cabrera had done to get to that moment, and I knew the path that I had to take, even though it's on a much smaller scale than a 3,000 hit, knowing everything that I had gone through in the last couple of years beforehand. Being there for that moment, to see that moment, was an accomplishment for not only myself, of course, but for Miguel Cabrera. But it was just a moment to remember. And who knows if we're ever going to get, which I guess this can be another talking point, are we ever going to see another 3,000 hitter?
Actually, I think that someone asked Miggy, like, who would beat his record, and I think he said Acuna.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was happened. But the best player to watch in baseball right now is Shohei. That guy
for sure.
Is insane. I mean, it's hands down best athlete of all time.
Unfortunately, when I was when he was in Detroit, I was actually at the Charlotte airport getting ready to head to Miami, because I headed to Miami the day before that series, and I ended up missing in person the shutout, but I watched the bulk of that shutout from the floor of the Charlotte airport, and I thought, yeah, this guy. And of course, I think most all of us watched when Shohei struck out Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic.
If that
did not make you believe that Shohei Ohtani is the athlete and guy that he is, then I don't know what can make you think that way, because that was his teammate. Trout knew what Ohtani was going to give him, and Ohtani still fooled him like crazy, made him look like somebody he's not.
Right. That's it's like sure. Kobe. When he played for Team USA, and then he went up against Paul, and he ran through him first second that he could. He told it was on the redeemed team, but he told everybody, he was like, I'm running through Paul like the first second that I get on the court, and he did. And LeBron and Dwayne, they were like, he literally just did that, and that's his teammate. Like, Kobe's not, there's no rules here. It's the same vibe for sure.
Oh, indeed. So there's a couple of options here, Acuna and Shohei there. And I'm thankful to say that I made the fantasy baseball playoffs in the fantasy league that I'm in. And I made a trade, let's see, in around early to mid-June for Max Scherzer. And little did I know that Max Scherzer was going to be joining your team. But there you go. There's a little commonality there. Max Scherzer's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, he's actually starting tonight, so it's his second start as a Ranger. His first start, first two innings, a little rough, but he also, you know, we don't have Jonah Heim, our catcher, right now. He's hurt, so he had Mitch Garver backing him, and it just took a little bit of, you know, kind of, it's a new offense, it's a new defense. I mean, you're learning a whole new staff, but after those first two innings, I mean, he ended up with a quality start, so I'm really excited for Scherzer today.
Absolutely, and I definitely needed that quality start on my fantasy team. So any predictions for how the Rangers will hash out the rest of this season and into the playoffs?
It's just really going to be tough. I think, you know, in the AL West, like outside of the Oakland Athletics, it's a 5-game difference, maybe like a little bit more for the Angels since they've lost 7 in a row since the trade deadline.
Right.
But it's going to be down to the wire with the Rangers and the Astros. We do play them again in September, and that's going to be a huge game. We also actually play the Mets soon in August, and Scherzer will face his former team for the first time. But I mean, if we could get a Scherzer and Verlander pitching matchup, that would make my dreams come true. But I don't know. It would be amazing to win the division. I hope that we do. But, you know, the talent on both teams is crazy. And I will say the Astros have postseason experience, and a lot of it. And Kyle Tucker for them, insane athlete. And he's just a force there. So, you know, they've got a lot of talent. We've definitely got a lot of talent. Bochy has a lot of post-game experience. And then we've got a few guys that definitely do as well. But I think it's literally going to come to the last few days of the season.
That Rangers-Astros series in September may be the telltale sign of who wins that. So my official prediction is going to be the winner of that series, even if it's 2 out of 3, wins the division. As of right now, I hate to say it to you, of course, but right now I think the Astros, until they are dethroned, that's just kind of how I am when it comes to championship teams. The Rangers definitely have the talent to dethrone them, but right now it's the Astros.
We gotta until stay healthy for sure.
That, yeah, and that's the thing.
Been our thing. We've you know, we sent 6 All-Stars, and since the All-Star game, 4 have been on the IL, so health is a big thing for us. And then 2 with our, I was looking at the Rangers schedule, the last 3 series of the Rangers schedule is all division games. So those are must wins, and I mean, it's going to come down to that. So it'll be tough, but I'm very excited.
Absolutely. So, my Zoom time is starting to run a little bit short, and it's been a great conversation, and definitely glad to have you on the show. And so, this was kind of the last question on the old version of the show, and it's still a great way to wrap the show. So I'll still bring it to the new phase of the show, and that is, anything else that you have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
Hey, I loved being on here. Loved talking about good old times with Detroit. Hoping I can get down there with my dad, hopefully. I think he's got another series before the end of the season. But yeah, loved being on this. Love everyone in Detroit. Always love to connect with everyone there. And it's been great.
Absolutely, and I'm glad to connect with you, and I'm hoping that this also opens a lot more doors to a lot more opportunities, and I'm glad that you were able to take the time with me and to deal with me, as sometimes I think a lot of people in the business, though, sometimes I can be a roller coaster just like Todd, but you know, things happen the way they do, and you're only allowed to play the cards that you're dealt, and so
That's true.
I'm glad that the dealer gave me a loaner hand, if we were talking about Euchre. I'm glad the dealer gave me a loaner hand for us to collaborate.
I will say, close it out. The Rangers, it could be nice to win 8 in a row. We've got a game in an hour. So we're going for 8 in a row. And if we could secure that in Oakland tonight, that would wrap up this podcast. Perfectly.
There you go. And yes, I am also part of the sell the team structure, but I also don't want, I am also tired of the infamy of the Tigers' 119 loss season, so I'm hoping that Oakland can kind of still remain that infamatic team for this season only, and then Fisher sells the team, and then they start to get back to good times
yep.
again. So, she is Abby Jones, and this has been the Tom Green Podcast.
Party for my day ones. They ain't in the studio, but damn, they some. Rest in peace, the drama king. We were straight stunned. Young.